Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 510. We're talking about the wisdom of Rabbi Avraham J. Twersky in regards to marriage. And he explains that many young people have fantasies that their relationship will be so idyllic, so perfect, so fantastic, that there will never be any need for adjustments. I know everything will be okay, so I'll gladly do whatever he or she wants to keep them happy. And the reality is that there's always adjustments needed in order to work through a happy marriage. The first thing that newlyweds need to know, and even people that are married a lot of years, even though they know this, it needs to register and they need to internalize it, that they must undergo some change. There will always be changes taking place in patterns of behavior that may become difficult. And the most important thing to know is that the only person that you actually can change is yourself. You cannot change another person. And hopefully, when you make changes in yourself, your husband or wife will likewise make some changes, and they'll be influenced to make those changes and work through and enhance the relationship between the two of you. So marriage brings a totally new role, different from anything that younger people have ever experienced or married people have experienced in other parts of their lives. Marriage is completely different. You're no longer individual. You're no longer a child relating to parents. Some people need to know this even when they're 30s and 50s, and even when they're married for 10, 20 years, they still believe in a certain sense in their mind. They know they're adults, but in this sense, they are like children in a certain way, connected to their original home. Messiah is beautiful, but sometimes one needs to have a healthy detachment from parents, and many people that are married many years don't have that, and that you're no longer your own individual. And again, it's not just newlyweds adjusting to a new reality, but people that are married very long also, they still believe they're their own individual, and their wife or their husband is like a tzigikimina, a coming in that is cramping on their lifestyle. Instead of adjusting to a new lifestyle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them both to have in a new unified unit, which is called the Jewish home, with the Shechina being there, and your own family. Ways of acting that were previously appropriate, right now may be inappropriate. The first thing to recognize is a family is a system. A family has interacting parts, and every part moves with the other part. Every change in one part affects the other part. Any change in one member of the family results in the change in the other person in the family. Now, when you're newlyweds, the nuclear family is two parts, the husband and the wife. And then it extends to children. But even as a husband and wife alone, a change in either one of them will affect the other person. And the more children you have and the more family members you have, the change in yourself will affect all those family members around you, including your own husband and wife and including your children. And we sometimes are aware of this sort of in a logical way, but in a behavioral way, we need to recognize that too, that our relationships are affected very much in our internal relationships, in our own home, by our own behaviors. Our own behaviors affect and influence and change over your own husband and wife and your children. And that creates an achrayus. Another concept that's important, and this applies a lot to newlyweds, but one needs to know this when they're married a while, that a passion that happens a lot in early love relationships may distort one's perceptions and judgments, because in the intensity of an emotion, a young man and a young woman see themselves as perfectly compatible. And if there's differences, they either deny it or they say it's insignificant. And he quotes a Dr. Harley Hendricks, the wise author that wrote books on marriage. And he says that marriage is arranged by match rather than falling in love have a better chance of survival. The couple is paired according to the evaluation of their compatibility through objective standards, not blinded by emotion, have more substance to it, and ever more lasting effect. There's a one psychologist, social critic, came up with this, that said that the notion of marrying for love is one of the most pathological experiments that civilized society has ever imagined. The basing of a marriage, which is lasting upon romance, which is passing fancy. Now again, to say that you don't need a spark there, or you don't need a real genuine liking to the one you're going to marry, that's not healthy either. There needs to be, obviously, a warmth and a connection there of some sort, of a certain idea that there is enough that they see in each other, that they connect, and, right? Asala Adam, the Kaddish is Ishtoi Achiyarena. That's why I'm a little surprised where Retorsky himself writes that his father first met his mother after the chuppah. Now, that's taking things, I think, a little bit too far. First of all, I don't understand that, really, because it says, Asala Kaddish is Ishtoi Achiyarena. You have to see her at least once, at the very least, before being Mekaddish. And so what do you mean you never met, father never met the mother until after the chuppah? I would ask him this question if he would have been alive. I mean, what's the pshat? What's the shot about this? But so you have to see them. But what he is saying is that system, though, of knowing your own children in an honest, objective way, without fooling yourselves, and knowing their personalities, and knowing what makes them click, and what they like and don't like, and see their compatibility, and then the parents, maybe through a shatchan, but they really, the parents of both of them, see that it clicks based on objective, you know, information, has a more lasting chance of having a real sustainable relationship than just the fantasies about marriage and just falling in love. The infatuation period that we discussed in other shiurim is not a basis of an everlasting marriage. It could be used to bring about further connection. But like we always talk about, you need hard work after that. So that's the idea. The fantasies about marriage is unhealthy. Some people are exposed to the fairy tales, you know, they live happily ever after. Or another thing is that they think a marriage will eliminate all their problems. That if you shower love and attention to the person, they'll change, they'll transform, they'll be a wonderful person all of a sudden. Does not happen. Everyone needs their own self-work. Could it be that in some situations where a marriage, a person has the mentality, they want to start a new slate, they love they realize that they see potential in the person that they're about to marry, that there could be a deep friendship and love, and they're motivated to change, and that spurs them to change, so that marriage actually does change them for the better? Of course that happens. But it doesn't come like automatic pilot. It's not like I think another place he phrased it, marriage is not a hospital. It's not going to solve the problem in and of itself. It has to come with an inner motivation of wanting to change for the better. So marriage, he says, can be fulfilling. And it is possible for a couple to find in each other what they were lacking and fill each other. But this anticipation, this unrealistic anticipation that marriages will change, everything that is bad or upsetting in life will disappear just because you're married, is unrealistic and will result in disillusionment. Parents of children who have emotional and psychological difficulties may also believe once they're married, they'll settle down. And parents need to be aware that marriage, he says it here, he says it's not a hospital and won't cure everything or anything. The problems that existed to an individual before marriage is likely to accentuate and be aggravated after marriage. If everyone knows in themselves they need to be misakin something in themselves, marriage won't cure it. And for the people who are married for a while or a long time, they see this. And very often, unless you're dealing with one of them that's actually abusive, a mental disorder, we always say that disclaimer. In those cases, this doesn't apply. But for 90%+ of marriages, everyone looks themselves in the mirror. A lot of how their marriage looks is dependent on their own internal behaviors and external behaviors. And that's a very important idea. You know, and there is anxiety that comes with marriage, with getting married. One young woman left her parents' home as a kala. I'm leaving behind everything. I'm not even taking my name along. They have a certain anxiety. You're going into new. It's frightening for people. Chasanas and engagements, they're exciting, but they're also frightening for many people. People need to be reassured. They need hadracha. The chasan and kala classes is not just shouldn't be just about technical halachas, but needs to be about the warmth and the idea of that there is changes, there's personal growth, that they should be aware of challenges, but not be scared of it, not be afraid of it, but recognize that there's great potential here. Tremendous potential. But this idea, though, that you meet during engagement and you say everything's going to be perfect, and after marriage, to expect that is not realistic. A lot also of differences of that is traumatic but shouldn't be is having an unrealistic expectation of what the other person's family is like and what they bring to the table. So, for example, if in the young man's family, right, it wasn't unusual to leave separate dishes in the sink to be done for the next day. That was in the chassan's family or the man's family. No big deal. The overnight, it could stay dirty in the sink, it could be clean the next day. No big deal. Or in the dishwasher, dirty, no big deal. In the young woman's mother, the girl's family, they would suffer a heart attack if the kitchen wasn't spotless before she retired. And of Tversky said he saw serious arguments arise when there are significant differences in their concept of orderliness and what cleanliness means. She'll look at the husband or her husband's family. That's disgusting. He looks at his wife's view of this. You're a perfectionist. You're compulsive. You're a drill sergeant. What's wrong with you? We live in a house. We don't live in a army base. So each one is awakening to unpleasant surprise based on their different perceptions of how they grew up. Meanwhile, there's nothing wrong with either one of them. It's a matter of working through these differences. Another example, in the Chassan's family, they didn't make a big deal about birthdays and anniversaries. Sometimes they remembered, sometimes they don't remember it. It was not a big thing in their family. That's just the way they grew up. But in the girl's family, they never missed celebrating such occasions, and they usually made a big deal about it. To overlook a birthday or anniversary, that was catastrophic. So the first time a newlywed husband doesn't remember that auspicious occasion of the anniversary or the birthday, his wife's in tears and is devastated. And she accuses him of not caring about her feelings. And you don't even care about me. In reality, what is it? It's a difference in culture. It has nothing to do with caring or not caring. So this idea of simply understanding these differences and adapting to it, and very often you're married for 10, 20 years and it's still stuck in the head. They're slobs. Meanwhile, they're not slobs. They just leave the dishes out for another day. We're not talking about leaving them for another week. In one person's view, this is a clean kitchen. In the other person's view, this kitchen is terrible. But it's a perception based on their experience from the past. Here's another example. By the man, his parents chose furniture and drapes together. They both had input in interior decoration. In the girl's family, the father left all decisions to his wife, the mother. Whatever you choose, everything's fine. So what happens in this new couple's life? The wife furnishes the home, doesn't consult the husband. Husband comes home, gets upset. How did you order this without me? How did you order that without me? You don't consider my wishes important. In reality, she was just basing it on her previous experience. So all of these situations, which, again, when he wrote it for people that are newly married, that they're adjusting to what they used to see at home versus what they see now, very often applies to people that are married for 10, 20, 30 years where they never got over it. They always had in their head, they could be married for 20 plus years. There's something really wrong with my wife or with my husband because of the way they think or conduct themselves. When in reality, it's perfectly normal, but it's normal in their family, not necessarily in yours. So this idea, and it's also Lashon Hara, and it's also Sheker, that very often you look at your wife or your wife's family or your husband's family, they're nuts. Very often it's not nuts at all. It's a different way of looking at things. And of course, in a home where they work together, they have to sometimes work through compromises to get through this aspect of life. Bracha v'atzlach.